Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me yet again on the 16-Bit Catholic. I am your host, Dustin Faber. You can find me at twitter.com/16BitCatholic. Only about 150 followers from that 1,000 mark. So that is very, very exciting. And I thank everybody for following me on Twitter. Also available, my wife, Alicia, and I have a blog, which is CatholicLovebirds.com. And I'm on Facebook, but I'm not going to give out that link. If you feel like finding me there, you can do your own detective work on that. I am broadcasting, as usual, from YourHolyFamilyRadio.com, great local Catholic programming in the Harrisburg area. And anybody who lets me use a radio studio to record this podcast and read the weather for them, hey, they're pretty good in my book. Joining us on the show this evening, we have from the IUseNFP.com website, which is still under construction right now, Katie and Kayla. Ladies, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, well, I've got a beef to pick with my car. I'll just go ahead and lay that down right now. I have a broken turn signal. The bulb needed to be replaced. So I open up the light on my 1976 Volkswagen Beetle, and I have to struggle pulling the bulb out because the bottom of it got rusted. Pulled it, you know, kept pulling so hard that my hands are still throbbing an hour later and kind of cut my finger a little bit. But I finally get the stupid thing out.
Oh.
Go down to the auto parts store, spend about $6 on the bulbs, go back, put the bulb in, and the turn signal still doesn't work. So until further notice, until I can dip down into funds that do not exist right now, I'm going to have to use my turn signal 1920 style and stick my hand out the window.
So, like you're riding a bike.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just so, oh, and the window crank handle broke off. So you have to spend about 30, you know, a minute or two to actually roll the window down. So, yeah, that's fun. I hate my car, but my car is for sale. If you're interested in that, $3,500, email DustinFaber@gmail.com. Wonderful little car when it works. But, so that is what is frustrating me right now. But I'm sure that both of you, when it comes to dealing with natural family planning, I'm sure that there are critics out there of natural family planning who probably frustrate you just as much as my car frustrated me.
Oh, yeah. You can say that. To be polite, yes, that's the...
By the way, if you're tuning in and you're thinking, what in the world is natural family planning? Kayla, why don't you explain to people what exactly we're talking about?
Okay, well, natural family planning is NFP. Natural family planning is really the best way for a couple to plan their family. Quite frankly, the name kind of says it all. It's a way of reading the woman's body and combining the man and woman's fertility to know when is the optimal time to get pregnant, when is the optimal time to express your love in a way to not get pregnant if that's your intention.
So when you're doing the natural family planning, like what's involved? Is it just waking up in the morning and thinking, oh, I feel great. There's no way I can get pregnant today. Or what steps are actually involved with participating in this form of birth control?
Right. It's actually a lot more scientific than that. Sorry to jump in on that. But there have been studies, 58 years, I think, it was 58 years ago was when the first natural family planning study came out proving its efficacy. And it's really based on thorough, genuine science of from observing different symptoms, of checking your cervical mucus, checking your basal body temperature, which is just checking your oral temp in the mouth every morning, and checking your cervical position, or checking your urine level of luteinizing hormone, which is the hormone that spikes right before ovulation. So you can do any sort of combination of those. You take a class, they would teach you the appropriate combination of which ones to use, and you would be able to predict the chances of you becoming pregnant. By being able to avoid a pregnancy, you'd be able to predict that up to 99 percentile, just as effective as any type of oral contraceptive, hormonal contraceptive. So it's a lot more than just how you feel in the morning, but that even that plays a part into it, and how stressed you are, and if you're sick, or just those little clues into your health will help you with your family planning.
So basically what you have to do, and earmuffs if you just had your lunch or if you get easily grossed out by bodily functions or whatever, but you basically, you know, check, for lack of a better word, you know, cervical mucus. You check that stuff, you know, each morning and pretty much chart about it. That's what you kind of look for, is just the signs that your body is giving, correct?
You look at one place all day.
I'm sorry, do what?
You pay attention to it all day.
Okay,
really.
So it's not just an early morning thing.
It's not just an early morning thing. And especially, you know, some people are just not morning people. They're not going to wake up and take their temperature, which is the only thing that really has to be checked in the morning at the same time every day. So other people, you know, they might go with more of a mucus-only method or the symptohormonal method with checking their urine samples every day. And each instructor will be able to tell you when the best time in the day is to do that. But you do check it throughout the day. It kind of becomes a second nature to go, you know, look and go, oh, hey, I've got cervical mucus today. And, you know, you start characteristics, so.
Well, my wife told me before this podcast, don't talk about cervical mucus. You're just going to gross everybody out. So, Alicia, if you're listening.
Please.
Hi, honey. I love you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. I think it is important to kind of let people know, hey, this isn't just some, you know, flippant little thing that you're, you know, just going to do for, you know, 5-10 seconds each day, or you're going to be sunk. It really does require some dedication. I think that's what turns a lot of people off is, oh my God, I got to look at this chart. I got to write this down. I got to write that down. I got to go to an appointment to make sure I'm doing all this right. Why can't somebody just take a pill and make their lives just so much easier?
Well, and I guess that depends on what your view of easy is. If you think that taking a pill that can cause cancer, that can cause deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolisms, worsen your migraines, make you gain weight, decrease your libido, if that's going to make your life easier, then we've got different lives. Taking a temperature in the morning and checking some cervical mucus when I go to the bathroom is a fair exchange, in my opinion.
Well, that was me playing devil's advocate, by the way. I am no way, you know, saying, oh my God, I'd rather take a pill. You know, I'm a man. I'm not faced with this. Yes, my wife is doing that, but, you know, sometimes I'll be laying in bed and she'll be doing her charting and, you know, most guys, I would imagine, they want to help in every way that they can in every facet of life. You know, the baby's crying, it's, oh, what can I do to help? You know, if your wife is sick or something, it's, oh, what can I do to help? But with natural family planning, it seems like it's all, you know, some, you know, chores that a woman has to do, you know, checking, you know, the fluids and putting the charts. What can men whose wives are doing natural family planning, what can we do to help and to make your lives a little bit easier?
Mm-hmm. You can actually be in charge of the charting. I definitely know there are some husbands out there who will get up in the morning and pop the thermometer in their wife's mouth and take it out and read the temperature and chart that. And later in the evening, they'll say, honey, what did you see today? You know, how is your cervical mucus going? Or how are you feeling today? Were you stressed? And then they write it on the chart. They are very diligent about making sure that they've paid attention to their wife and asked her the questions that need to be asked and recording that, and then together the wife and the husband interpret it. Other husbands just really make sure that they're asking their wives, hey, honey, how's your chart looking? Can you tell me about what's going on? You know, being attentive and listening to her and saying, okay, well, this is our intention, so this is how we need to behave, and I either need to go, we need to go have some ice cream and cool down, or let's, you know, lock the door for a little bit, you know. Really paying attention to their wives helps a lot.
We are talking, in case you fast-forwarded through the beginning for whatever reason, we are talking with Katie Falk and Kayla Peterson of the website IUseNFP.com. Katie can be found at twitter.com/NFP and me, and her own personal blog, NFPandMe.blogspot.com. Kayla at twitter.com/AlluringWorld, A-L-L-U-R-I-N-G World, and the Alluring World www.blogspot.com. We were talking earlier about some of the, you know, some of the, I don't want to call them side effects, but some of the challenges with using natural family planning as opposed to other contraceptive measures. I found this is just kind of made me laugh looking at this website. Let me find it. This will get clipped out here in a second because it really did make me out loud. Laugh out loud. Okay, at NHS.UK. So I guess it's a British website about health. They listed the pros and cons of natural family planning. I'm going to read you some of the disadvantages, and I want to get both of y'all's reactions after hearing some of these, because some of them, you know, were pretty legitimate, you know, concerns, and then some of them were, you know, not so bright. Well, let's just start with the one that's not so bright. The very last disadvantage that they use, and I laughed my head off when I read this, it says, if you do decide to abstain during your, ovulating periods, it can sometimes be up to 16 days during which you cannot have sex. This can sometimes cause problems in a relationship. And I'm just thinking, if you can't abstain, you know, for a little over 2 weeks in the middle of the month, quite frankly, what is wrong with you?
I wish I had the answer to that.
oh my God. I mean, I'm going to have to sit in bed with my wife and we're actually going to have to talk instead of having sex. God forbid we improve our communication skills.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, you know, I think the problem that comes when you're talking about abstaining during the woman's fertile time is that that's when she's feeling a little more amorous towards the husband. And so, yes, we want to have that kind of strength in communication to be able to say, okay, we can't do this, we need to take a break. But it is frustrating as a woman to go, I'm really into this right now, and and I have to say no, and I'm going to, you know, it takes a lot. And so that's a little bit stressful, especially if, you know, maybe you're not both committed to not having a baby right then, or you're on the edge of being committed or something. You know, it's not always quite so cut and dry as saying, okay, these are our 16 days and we're just going to talk and play Scrabble.
Yeah.
Ideally, that's what it is, but it's really difficult when you really just want to lunge across the Scrabble board and be married.
All right, and I mean, I can't think of any normal person who is going to have sex 31, 30, 29, 28, or whatever days out of the month. That just seems unrealistic. And for a website, you know, for all I know, maybe they're just a clown website or something. But for, you know, somebody actually put that as an actual disadvantage. I mean, yes, people need to know that you can't have sex 24/7, but to say that, 16 days out of the month you can't have sex, that's going to cause a problem in a relationship. I think that relationship probably already had problems to begin with, and now it's just really coming to light. Some of the other disadvantages, and again,
I'd just like to comment on that, though.
Sure.
Actually, the average is much, much closer to 5 to 10 days, and 16 days is pushing it to the max. So 16 days is an extreme, much closer to 5 to 10 days. And couples using NFP versus couples contracepting actually report having more sex.
Yay! some of the other disadvantages.
Take that, NHS.UK.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, some of these other concerns, I mean, I'm going to highlight some of them. It's not just this website that has some of these concerns. You know, it's other websites too, and I don't want to plug this website anymore. They're not paying for any of this, but some of the other disadvantages that, you know, I guess other people would say, they use a stat that I saw Planned Parenthood use as well. 1 in 4 women using natural family planning would get pregnant. Compared to, you know, maybe 1 in 8 or, you know, something similar to that. I mean, is that just a made up stat? I mean, I can't imagine if you're doing the natural family planning correctly that the odds are going to be that high that you're going to get pregnant.
Yes, those are exaggerated stats. And those are really combining all of the different realms of that, all of the things that get looped into the natural family planning realm. The antiquated rhythm method, which was just, I bet everyone probably has a 28-day cycle. So everyone probably ovulates on 14 days. So don't have sex before 14 days of your cycle, and then you'll be fine.
No.
Well, that's horrid. We know that that's not right. And that hasn't been in use for 30 or 40 years. No one is purporting that. And that's getting lumped in there with all of these other statistics. And it's it would be like us condemning the pill and for all of the blood clots that it causes, using the 150 micrograms of estrogen that were in it in the 70s. When now it's like 35. We just have to use current science, and they're not doing it.
Now, some of the other ones, I was reading through this, and I thought, oh, well, that's kind of a good, that's kind of a good point. Maybe I'm playing devil's advocate. Some of the silly ones they had, you know, saying, oh, it's going to require, you know, commitment and cooperation with you and your partner, which is true. It does require commitment, but, you know, all great things in life, you know, require commitment.
I would hope anyone that a woman is having sex with, she has some level of commitment in her life with that person, though. So I don't think that's a disadvantage.
Right. Well, they were talking about the commitment to using natural family planning and, you know, charting and making sure to check your signs each and every day. And, you know, I mean, that's just common sense that, you know, to have effective, you know, means of preventing, you know, children at the time, you probably do need to be committed. It takes, you know, probably just as much commitment to, you know, make sure that your prescription gets filled, you know, at the drugstore, you know, go out and, you know, buy, you know, whatever kind of contraceptives. I imagine everything takes a little bit of commitment in life. The one thing they did mention that, I wanted to get your thoughts on. They say, and not just they, but a lot of people say, quote, it's not suitable if you have persistent irregular periods. If you are having things like irregular menstrual cycles, how would using natural family planning be different for you?
Oh, my gosh. This question, this is probably just as aggravating as the rhythm method myth, the idea that women with irregular cycles cannot use NFP or are going to have extreme difficulties using NFP, and I just wish whoever is saying these things would stop talking. It's so it is not true. The thing is, the length of your period, the first part is variable. So you used to think, this is where the rhythm method idea came in, was that every woman had a 28-day cycle. You ovulated on day 14 because typically 10 to 14 days after ovulation is when you're going to have your period. Now, we've learned that every woman does not have a 14-day or 28-day cycle where they ovulate on day 14. Some women have perfectly regular 28-day cycles, and they ovulate on day 20, and they have a very short luteal phase. Which is the phase after ovulation. Some women have different cycles every time, you know, anywhere from 22 days to 40 days to 35 days to whatever, and they're really just looking for the signs in their body, and your body will tell you it's getting ready to ovulate. No matter if it's ovulating on day 20, on day 14, on day 28, it doesn't matter. You're going to see the same signs no matter how regular your periods are. Of course, I'm going to defer to Katie on this one. It does make a difference if you have a medical reason for your regular periods. Some of us are just irregular, but if you have PCOS or endometriosis, then those kinds of things, you will be looking, I believe you'll be looking for additional signs. Is that true, Katie?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit on that last part.
I was just asking you about the difference when you have PCOS or endometriosis. PCOS, for anybody who doesn't know, is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I do know that a lot of women use the Creighton model of natural family planning to treat those irregularities and those imbalances.
I would venture to say that if you do have an irregular cycle, you should be using natural family planning, whether you are looking at how you're going to plan your family or you're 15 years old and you just don't know why you have irregular cycles. Natural family planning is always lumped into family planning, but it really is just knowledge. It is women taking their body and learning about them. And if you have an irregular cycle, you have a reason for it. And there's this analogy that I like. If you went to the doctor with a cough, and you didn't know why you had this cough, but it was really bothersome, and it bothered you. You hated it. You have this cough all the time. And they said, here, take some Robitussin. You should be fine. Just stick with that. You would never accept that if it didn't go. Like, it would just be covering the symptoms. It would never be curing anything. And that's what doctors are saying to women with irregular cycles. I don't want to take the time to find out why you have an irregular cycle, so I'm going to give you this pill. And when you get off the pill, you're still going to have an irregular cycle. You're still going to have this illness, and we are going to have wasted 10 years falsely normalizing your cycle so that you don't know that you have this problem. And so then you get on it when you're 17 years old. You get married. You're on this pill for 10 years. One, there's studies that show for every year you're on the pill, it ages your uterus 2 years. So if you're on the pill for 10 years, it ages your uterus 20 years. That can cause problems with infertility. If you had an irregular cycle and you had problems with endometriosis, PCOS, something like that, it's covering these up. And so then, let's say at 27, you say, this is the right time for me to start a family. You get off the pill and you can't get pregnant. And you go, oh, yeah, that's right. 10 years ago, I was told I had irregular cycles. Nothing was ever done about it. You lost 10 years. You were robbed of those years because of laziness on your physician's side. And that's really unfair, and it's a huge disservice to women. And we, honestly, we deserve so much better. I could go on. I get really frustrated with it.
Well, yeah, it does seem like it's lit. And in fact, it seems like every argument against natural family planning is laziness. Like, it just seems like people are just, oh, I don't feel like doing all that work. I'm just gonna pop a pill, like we were saying earlier. I mean, it just seems like as something as important as your body is, and you know, your family and your health and things like that, it just seems like you would want to do something, you know, that's going to benefit you long term. It's kind of laughable, the idea that all these people, oh, we need to eat organic, all these chemicals are such a bad thing, and then, you know, they're putting chemicals in their body, which, I mean, it's a whole other podcast we could go on to, as far as what kind of effects it might have on the environment. But a lot of people who, you know, even, you know, good, you know, friends and family of mine, it just seems like, are you just that lazy? Like, what's your deal here?
I think it's for people who are informed and who know about NFP and go, I don't feel like doing that. But, okay, we can say laziness. I think a lot of people just don't know. The rhythm method, the irregular periods, those myths are so prevalent in our culture. The idea that NFP just simply doesn't work, you know, the joke, what do you call people who use NFP, her parents? You know,
and I would just like to note, Kayla and I both use NFP, and neither of us have children. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
We've successfully used NFP.
Unless you count a dog.
the way that we have thought about using it, and for us, we've prayed about using it. You know, we have come to the conclusion based on several things to not have children right now, and we are using NFP to achieve that goal. And then other people use it to achieve pregnancy. So it's less, I think, a matter of laziness and more a matter of just not knowing and simply not having access to that knowledge, which is why Katie and I decided to create IUseNFP.com for people who just don't know about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The website right now, it still says coming soon, but when do you anticipate IUseNFP.com will be up and running?
We're hoping within a month. We were actually ready to launch, I believe we were going to launch on May 22nd, and then we were very, very blessed. We had an amazing opportunity fall into our laps, as we have this whole time that we've been working with NFP. I mean, literally, we've said, like, in passing to each other, oh, it'd be nice if we could do this, and then the next day someone is emailing us about exactly what we had mentioned, and that just came to a paramount with this opportunity we had to have a professional website developer look at our site and rework everything and make it as perfect as possible. And so that was our little glitch, but it is definitely going to be well worth the wait from what we've seen. And but we're hoping within a month.
Okay. And a lot of people, you know, whenever somebody has a great dedication to a cause, there's usually some reason behind that. It's not just something random. People are dedicated to the pro-life movement. Other people are dedicated to ridiculously stupid Starbucks boycotts. Where did the dedication to spreading the word about NFP, where did that come from for y'all?
I'll go ahead and go because I don't want to speak for Caleb, but as far as NFP goes, I think because my blog is NFP and me, so obviously I'm one of those crazy people that writes only and thinks only about NFP. I hated it. I learned it right before I started medical school when I was engaged, and I hated it. I had been a product of our culture. I thought it was stupid. I thought the church was behind the times, oppressing women, that I was never going to make it through medical school because surely I was going to get pregnant and this stupid system doesn't work. And then I started using it and I had to eat all of those words. And it was awful and humbling, and fortunately my husband isn't too smug. But I came around to, like, why didn't I know these things? Why were people feeding me lies and why was I buying into them? Like, and then I looked for information on it and there just wasn't. So I went about writing some posts on my blog about the HHS mandate and how everyone is talking about contraception now and why the church doesn't allow contraception. And they're asking these questions, and we have a responsibility to give them the information. And Kayla read it and then contacted me, and then I'll let her talk about what prompted her to contact me.
Well, I contacted Katie because my really, my history with NFP is that my godmother taught it, my mother used it. I was just fascinated with the way the female body works and what we could learn about it. And so I tried to work at school. I tried to, work with people about teaching the girls at my school about that and getting people to come in. And I was really inspired by these women who knew so much about themselves. And I wanted that for every other woman, too. I don't think it's fair that other women don't know that unless they know someone personally who teaches it or know someone personally who uses it. It should be knowledge that's available to anybody. And so when I saw that post on Katie's blog, I thought, oh, we should do something about that. And so I emailed Katie and I was like, hey, why don't we do this? How about we, use that idea when we run with it? And I think within a month of us speaking about it, we had the website, we had material, we had people saying, I want to contribute to this, I want to help you. We already talked about that. And so combining together, we started it because we just really love women and want them to know about themselves.
And I know on the website and, just through the Facebook, facebook.com/IUseNFP, twitter.com/IUseNFP, one screen name, two different sites. That's a really great way of simplifying it. It looks like you guys are going to, or you ladies are going to start selling car magnets or just magnets in general with clever natural family planning, pro-NFP slogans. I was wanting to try to find out what are some of your favorites that you've stumbled across. My favorite is the one that my wife Alicia uses on her Facebook, the main picture on there. It says, I use NFP because when the zombie apocalypse happens, I'll still have my charts. And me being a huge fan of the Walking Dead TV show, I'm just tickled pink by that. What are some of the funny or more sincere phrases that you've seen pop up?
I've made most of them. There are some that I haven't made, so I am horribly biased, and most of the ones that I've made, and I'm like, this one's going to be a hit. Everyone's going to love it. No one does. So I'm really biased. My very favorite one is, I use NFP because I did enough damage to my liver in college. That one's got the fewest likes, and I just think it's so funny. But
I'll go like it this evening on the Facebook then for you.
Well, thank you very much. That one is, I made that one thinking, like, this is God's gift to I use NFP. It's so funny. Nothing, not one response. So yet again, another humbling moment for me.
What about you? What are some of the other ones that you like?
Well, I like, there's one that I think is really funny, especially when it's in thumbnail, and it says, we do it every night, and that's all you can see in the thumbnail, and then when you click on it, at the bottom, it says charts. So it's really cheeky, and I just really like that one because it's kind of a huh, and it grabs your attention, and I thought it was really funny when Katie made that one.
That was, I think, our very first one that we made, and you actually, this was something that I just had, like, I was like, oh, I should make this. I'm on Picnic, and I made it, and I tweeted this out, and it was before iUseNFP was even ever thought about, and Kayla actually wrote back to me and helped me edit it, and so this, I mean, this was just God's plan in the working from, like, before we even thought of doing this. Oh, and then one more I have to share, because apparently this one is crazy popular. It's a picture of a cow, and it says, if you're worried about your milk and meat being hormone-free, maybe you should be concerned about your birth control. And that one has gone crazy over Facebook lately. It's got, like, 230 shares, which is unbelievable for us. I'm sure that other websites, like Glee, shares everything 1,000 times. But we were just shocked at that one.
The one, one that I think could be clever, and maybe something has already been done about it. I think one that would make a good little magnet would be, I use NFP because Mary didn't have any pills and she only had one kid. So I don't know. Maybe that could be kind of clever and tie in the Catholicism with it. Or maybe that one sucks. I don't know. Maybe I'll get hate mail on that one.
I think I appreciate it. And Kayla and I both, because we're Catholic, that's really funny.
Yeah, that almost makes it sound like maybe they did have sex and only Jesus was born. So I am probably speaking heretical as we.
Well, we won't tell the Pope. It's no. Okay.
I'll get kicked out and have to join that stupid Society of St. Pius the Tenth or something like that. The Health and Human Services, before we go, that mandate or the Supreme Court decision on the health care, the Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, has not been handed down yet. Are y'all following that? Do you have any idea, you know, which way it might lean, or is that beyond your pay grade?
Actually, I'm in medical school, so I've been following it a little bit, although I've been kind of busy. I just took my first round of medical licensing, so I've been a little distracted. But so I'm in medical school, and I have a friend that's in law school, and we chat about things like this. And her opinion so far has been that she thinks the only part that will be struck down is the mandate that requires people to have insurance, that part will be seen as unconstitutional. But because of that, the rest of the bill will have to go, because that the mandate is what affords the rest of it.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where I've been sitting, trying to look into whether that really is unconstitutional, what the Supreme Court will say, what their history of voting in that is. And I don't know. I think it will be close, but
that was
it probably is above my pay grade. So.
Well, that was the feeling that Scott Richard, who runs Chronicles Magazine and about.catholicism.com, said last week. He was thinking as well that it would be struck down, and he was saying that, you know, if the Health Care Act goes, that rule that they impose, you know, forcing, you know, people to pay, you know, religious groups to pay for contraception, you know, insurance and things, that would end up, you know, going as well if the main Obamacare falls. So that's really going to be interesting. I don't believe there was a Supreme Court decision on that today, but really looking forward to that. One thing that we should have touched on, you know, before, you know, or much earlier in this podcast, is the fact that, you know, you being in medical school, when you are going through medical school, is natural family planning, is that addressed in a positive or a negative light, or can you shed some light on that?
It is addressed, and it's not negative, but it's not positive. They do
kind of like, it's there.
And it does work, but then they make it sound like, yeah, you can climb Mount Everest. That's how they make it sound like it's possible, but...
So they do make it sound like, oh, but because of, you know, the time you have to spend doing it, then it's really not...
I'm very fortunate. In my class, I have a very solid group of friends, probably five or six that are very strong Catholics,
all saying that they will be NFP-only doctors. They will not prescribe a contraceptive.
Oh, that's great.
And we have really pushed for, and we've been like, we've been probably horrid is what they think of us. We go to every meeting about contraception, every lecture about contraception, every lecture about abortion, everything we go to, and we keep them honest. No, that's not right. No, that is not how it works. We keep them honest. And since then, they've actually implemented a lecture just about natural family planning into our sex and reproduction module, which is a huge stride because it literally got one slide in my class during one lecture, and now it has its own lecture. So it's getting better, but people have to be persistent, and that's what Kayla and I want to do. We want to help facilitate people with that knowledge. So they can be persistent, and they can get people to at least talk about it fairly.
But as far as medical school, and I always just hear, like, you know, almost like horror stories of, like, students in medical school having to learn about, you know, abortion and things like that. How hands-on are you required, you know, when it comes to abortion, just the knowledge of it, or how in-depth do you have to get on that in medical school?
I'm currently starting my third year. So everything that I've learned until now, it has all been in theory, and they haven't really talked about abortion. There are, in the state that I'm in, there are laws regulating conscious objection, and actually our Kansas Medical Association, or Catholic Medical Association, Kansas is the state I'm in, went to the Kansas Capitol and spoke when they were voting on that bill, and it was upheld that we have the right to consciously object to procedures that we feel violate our conscience. So there shouldn't be any pressure, but I'm, you could call me paranoid, I guess. I don't take my OB-GYN rotation until May, and I am opting to do my at least 3 weeks of it, which is half of it, at a Catholic hospital. I have to go somewhere else to do it, but I just want to be sure that I'm not even going to be pressured or even, like, they wouldn't even think of asking me to do something that would violate my conscience. So there are options, and I'm choosing to avoid the probably the worst part of it and putting myself in a better situation. So I can't speak exactly what everyone sees, but I know what I will see, and it should be a positive experience.
Oh, that's let's hope so. And again, would have been much, much more useful for our listeners if I had thought to mention, oh, yeah, you're in medical school. Let's bring that up at the beginning of the show. So I do apologize for not.
Oh, that up. I don't. That is more than fine. I don't. Actually, I prefer people not knowing because then they don't expect as much out of me.
Kayla, Katie, again, website iusenfp.com will be up and running hopefully by the end of the month. And you can also find Katie Falk at twitter.com/NFP and me and Kayla Peterson, twitter.com/alluringworld. Ladies, it was really great to talk with both of you, and definitely let me know when the website's up and running, and maybe down the road we can do some more chit-chatting on some other topics and stuff.
I would be happy to. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I should add, by the way, that iusenfp.com is not an exclusively Catholic website. So if you are interested in using natural family planning, but you are not Catholic and don't want to be inundated with teachings that you might not necessarily agree with 100%, you really don't have that worry at iusenfp.com. Yes, the both ladies are Catholic, but the website is for people of all faiths that want an alternative to pumping hormones. Well, that was fun. No, that really was a good show. I used the phrase cervical mucus in the podcast. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or if it's a bad thing. I mean, it's just a bottle, you know, bodily fluid or whatever. But my wife, yeah, she said, don't use that word. You're trying to attract people to natural family planning, not scare them away, but yeah, so cervical mucus. There it is. One more time for good measure. So, but yeah, we had a lot of fun interviewing about the Lays. They seem like they know what they're doing, and hopefully that website gets up and running, and maybe one of those magnets. That could be fun to buy, too. So, and also had a good Father's Day as well. Father's Day was great. I got a book on how to juggle, because I've been trying to find a hobby that doesn't involve an electronic screen or electronics of any sort, and I can decently juggle two balls at the same time. So maybe the book will teach me how to do a third juggle, and I have another way to embarrass my daughter in front of her friends in about 15, 16 years. So looking forward to that. Well, not really. I don't want to look forward to that. That means my baby girl is not a little baby anymore, and that's sad. See, now juggling has just made me sad. It's a very, very depressing life that I live. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the 16-Bit Catholic. The website, CatholicLoveBirds.com, has all of our past episodes up there as well. You can find me on Twitter.com/16BitCatholic, or on my Facebook. Just find me there, Facebook.com/DustinFaber. And if you need to contact me about the show or about anything else, it's DustinFaber@gmail.com. Now, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I look forward to talking with you next week. Bye.